Good morning, everyone. I'd like to ask you right at the start to give a round of applause to the guys at the back. They're all suitably embarrassed, but I've been in that kind of position in my work where everybody's waiting on you to fix something and the pressure's on. So thank you very much, guys. Also, before I give you my short sermon this morning, I do want to give a little bit of a plug to the marriage course. We're organising another marriage course. We're starting on the 26th of August. So get your summer holidays and then get your marriage enriched. Now, this is not primarily for people who've got problems in their marriage. It really is. It's a lovely course for everyone who's married at whatever stage, and we would like to encourage you to think about either coming or helping. There's lots of different roles involved in making the marriage course happen, from guys like me that do the really spiritual bit. We set out the tables and lift the chairs in place. So if you're about my size, you can volunteer for that. I'm not looking at anyone in particular, but as well as that, we've got catering, we've got just introducing it from the front and so on. Being willing to participate in any way, we'd be very grateful to hear from you. So 26th of August for 7 weeks, I think it is, up until the 1st or the 6th of October, something like that. So little leaflet, pick one up on the way out. I think we've already got something like 6 couples booked for the next course. And if you could help with that or you would like to attend, then contact either Nikki or Doug Hutchison or Janet Logue. If you don't know who they are, then come and see me or Alison. Okay. We looked at the Lord's Prayer this morning. And last week I was working, this past week I was working in the USA. And a taxi driver picked me up. And I said to him, "How are you?" And he said, "I'm wonderful." And I said, "That sounds very encouraging." And quite suddenly he said, "I wasn't always wonderful." And I said, "Tell me a story." He said, "I haven't had a drink since 1994. And he said, "But before that, my life was in a complete mess." And I said, "What was your secret? How did you manage to escape from the clutches of drink?" And he said, "All the guys that escape draw on God's power." And I thought, "Well, this is interesting. He doesn't even know I'm a Christian, and he's witnessing to me." And he said, "Unfortunately, I wish I'd prayed earlier and asked God to give me his power and his help to deal with the problems that I was having." He said, and I remember he was sitting in front of me. Of course, they sit on that side. I do find when I get to America, it's get very sore when you're driving the car. They sit on that side of the car, and he said, "I was this close," he held his hand up, "I was this close to crossing the river without him, and then I called on the name of the Lord, and he came and completely changed my life." And I thought, "Oh, wonderful, encouraging story. I'm going to share that." He didn't know I was going to be speaking on prayer this morning, but prayer is an opportunity for us to communicate with the God of the universe, who has, as we were already told, superpowers like you wouldn't believe. Why would we not? Why would we, like this chap admitted he did, go in our own strength until, as we sang this morning, we reach the end of our tether, we reach the end of our resources? And that's when our Father's giving can just begin. So just a few simple thoughts on prayer this morning. What is prayer? Well, here's a few things that it's not. It's not an opportunity for you to inform God of your shopping list. Prayer can kind of descend into that if we're not careful. The Bible says that God already knows what our needs are before we even ask him. So what's the point in giving him a long shopping list? It's not letting God know your plans. It's not superstition. heaping up words, Jesus puts it. I mean, if these are the sorts of things that prayer is, then we might as well follow the Buddhist tradition and just write the prayers on a piece of paper, wrap them round a wheel, and then every now and again just give them a spin as you go past. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is an opportunity for us to communicate with a God who loves us infinitely. I phone my wife every day when I'm traveling. Why? Do you think she needs to hear about my day? I just need to hear her voice. She actually admits that she needs to hear mine. How romantic is that? 40 years we'll have been married on the 14th of July, and I still need to hear from my wife every day. God wants to hear from us. But more than that, the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we should pray without ceasing. Now, I remember a great theologian, lovely godly man, being asked by some of his students, they said, "How often do you pray?" He said, "Well, I never pray for more than about 30 seconds. He said, "But then I never go more than 5 minutes without praying." I thought, that's interesting. It's like keeping the lines of communication open with God all the time. I try to do that. And just the other day, I had to make a phone call to a drilling company down in Perth. And the boss of this drilling company, he's got a great name. He's called Neil Armstrong. So I have, on my speed dial, I've got Neil Armstrong on the speed dial. That always impresses people. So I phoned up Neil, and I said, "Neil, about that software that you're looking for the navigation stuff, I said, just to let you know, we're going to get that finished by the end of the first week in July." And I had to leave a message on his answering machine. So I said, "Just call me back if you need to." And then later, as I was driving along, I had a really busy day trying to catch up after being away for 10 days. And I said, "Thank you, Lord, for helping me to get through all the jobs today." And then up on the car phone came, "You have 10 seconds left to finish recording this message." So Neil Armstrong is going to... going to get a message that includes Angus Jameson praying without ceasing. I just thought I'd share that with you. So just pray what my reaction might be when he challenges me on that. Prayer then is keeping the line of communication open with God. He wants to hear from you. He loves you. He's got infinite power. He can help you with any situation. He can untangle the most awful mess in your life. His power is unlimited. But prayer is also honest. You're more honest than you are when you're on your knees. What would be the point in trying to pretend anything to God who knows already everything about us? It's actually very healthy for us to get on our knees and open up to the Lord about how we really feel. When I was a kid at school, one of the ways I used to cheat in the exams was I would say to my dad, when I knew I was going to write an essay, I would say, "Dad, give me a big word so I can put it in the essay and sound like I'm really clever." I remember one time he said, "Use the word catharsis." He said, "It's a great word." I said, "Oh, okay, what does it mean?" He said, "Well, it means to unburden yourself. So if somebody's writing something that is just a way of expressing how they truly feel, then you can call that a catharsis." And I thought, "Oh, I've got to get that squeezed in anyway." But how do you do that on a book review on Sherlock Holmes? But anyway, one way or another, I got it into the essay. Elijah, at one point, had some serious mental health issues. And he had been, he'd been literally on the mountaintop at Mount Carmel. He had defeated 450 prophets of Baal. He had stated his position very clearly, even to royalty, that he was going to serve the Lord. I mean, just so representing God and godliness and everything. And then he's absolutely exhausted, and he descends into a depression that is so deep that he actually walks out into the Judean desert with no food and no water. And this is his prayer: Lord, take my life. I've had enough. I don't know if any of you have ever been close to that. Some of you will have. Lord, take my life. I've had enough. You're never at your most honest, more honest than you are when you're on your knees in prayer before that omniscient God that knows everything about you. Well, God answered his prayer, sent him food, gave him another job to do, sent a militia to help him out, rebuked him, but in the most loving way, for running away from his responsibilities. And this loving God, just, it's like he picked him up in his arms and said, Elijah, it's okay. It's okay for you to feel like that. You're still my child. I still love you. And he gave him all the resources. It's really interesting that when Jesus was going through one of the worst moments of his life, preparing for going to Calvary, he talks to two people from heaven, and one of them is Elijah, the man who said, Lord, take my life. I've had enough. The Lord is very gentle with us, and God is not prejudiced against the vulnerable. Be honest in your prayer. Prayer is also wonderful. Now, I can't pray the way David prays, but just listen to one of David's prayers. This is from Psalm 18. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. We've just been singing about this all through the storm. Your love is the anchor, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol, the place of the dead, entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. You might not be able to pray like that, but you know, it doesn't matter. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf using words which cannot be uttered. So even the simplest, most confused prayer is valued enormously by God and is made acceptable to God by his Spirit living within us. Another thing about prayer is the Bible says that prayer actually brings pleasure to the heart of God. Would you not want to bring pleasure to the heart of God? Listen to this from Proverbs 15, verse 8. Excuse me. It says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is a delight to him. I always remember when we lived in Aberdeen, our children were quite small, and Ian would have been about four. He loves when I share stories of when he was four. And, okay, maybe not, but he's not here. And we'd been up to the garage for a walk, and he'd asked if he could get sweeties, and he had jelly tots. And when we got back, he said, can I phone Grandma and tell her that I've got jelly tots? And I couldn't really think of a reason why he shouldn't phone Grandma to tell him about his jelly tots. So I said, yeah, I suppose, you know. So we got the phone and we dialed Grandma's number in Edinburgh. And Ian, very excited, on the phone, Grandma, I got jelly tots. Okay. Well, it just happened that that morning, Grandma hadn't been feeling that well. She'd had a rough time. And Grandma had several health problems, and she'd had a particularly bad day that day. And just Ian phoning up to tell her about his jelly tots, she said, had made her day. Now, if that's just a human grandma with a wee four-year-old, what does it do for God when we as his children call out to him, it says it brings delight to his heart just to hear from us. Prayer also serves as a reminder to us. It reminds us of our deference to God, our dependence on God, our debt to God, our defense by God, and our destiny with God. Let me just list these off again for you very quickly. Prayer reminds us of our deference to God, of our dependence on God. It reminds us of our debt to God, but our defense by God. And it reminds us of our destiny with God. It keeps the long-term picture in view. Listen to these components then in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our deference to God, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our dependence on God, give us this day our daily bread. Our debt to God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our defense by God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And our destiny with God, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And Jesus says, and we will share that glory. We will reign with him. And when we come in prayer to the Lord, it focuses our eyes on Jesus. And like the old hymn said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. These are a few simple thoughts I wanted to share with you this morning, and then I kind of put the pen down, and I felt the Lord was saying to me, no, there's one more sentence needs to be said. I'm going to tell you this sentence, and it may be relevant for somebody here this morning. This is what I felt I had to say this morning. When we lose steam with God, it's prayer that's the first casualty. So prayer also has to be the first remedy. I don't know, there may be somebody here this morning who's just lost steam with God and the prayer life has diminished. But the solution is prayer. And the Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible also says, he who comes to me, I will never turn away. The prodigal son didn't come back to rebuke. He came back to an embrace. So if that's you this morning, turn to the Lord. He still loves you. He still wants to hear from you. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we thank you for this wonderful gift of prayer, that we can come to a holy, almighty, omniscient God and be welcomed like a family member. And Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins to make it possible for us to meet with you in prayer, in direct communication with you. We thank you, Lord, for that wonderful symbol that happened on the day that Jesus died, that the curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and access made available to Almighty God for even ordinary sinful human beings like us. Lord, help us to take hold of this wonderful gift with both hands, to reach out to you in prayer. And we do pray, Lord, that if there is someone here this morning for whom that last sentence was important, who has lost steam a bit and the prayer life has diminished or even dried up, help them, Lord, to understand that you are reaching out to them this morning, asking them to get in touch. We ask all these things and give you our thanks in Jesus' name.